Talk, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620 if you want to be part of the conversation today. I'm your host, PJ. In the studio with me is Jamie Coffey from NAS Whiting Field, along with Captain Ted Elkins. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, PJ. Thanks for that intro.
Yeah.
That's how you do it when you have an aviator in the house.
That is right. And it is Captain, correct?
Yes,
I had
correct.
That correct? Okay, perfect.
So we call him Skipper, of course, you know, Captain, Skipper, it all kind of works. And in call sign thumbs, I think we'll probably have to get to that at some point.
I think the listeners want to know what the call signs are and what they mean and how you come about them.
Right. The stories are always the best.
Yeah.
Always the best. Thanks
awesome.
Again for having us. Seriously, yeah. we just absolutely appreciate that you can, you let us come on and do this once a month. We love screaming naval aviation.
Mm-hmm. We love our veterans and love our military community here. So thank you for being here. And what you got on tap today?
Well, thanks. So it's a little bit of getting to know the commanding officer today. So I just wanted to kind of come on. And we had a change of command over the summer. So Skipper relieved Captain Party Boy Flores about midsummer. I think that was about mid-July. So now that Skipper has taken the helm here in the last couple months, you've settled in. So officially, welcome, sir. Thanks again for doing this. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Okay, jumping in, tell us, where are you from?
Well, I was born in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, so I am a Florida native, and then grew up in various small towns in both Broward County and Palm Beach County, and then I went away to school in Lynchburg, Virginia, Liberty University. So
okay.
The bulk of my life, though, growing up was right here in Florida.
Florida boy. So we say semi-local.
Yes.
Semi-local.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, so give us a little bit about your background on your career. First of all, how long have you served?
I showed up here. I was actually just recollecting 2 weekends ago with my wife. We were in Charleston, West Virginia for a wedding. That's where my wife is from, Charleston, West Virginia. And in February of 2000, when we were at the terminal, I said, hey, in February 2000, you dropped me off here at this terminal to fly down to Pensacola to go to OCS.
Mm-hmm.
And I reported OCS down here in February of 2000. And it's been a nonstop journey since then.
So. Oh, wow. So give us a little... kind of into the young, you're up and coming, you finish OTS and you start picking your platform. Can you tell us a little bit about background and how you came to fly helos?
I showed up here, like I said, February 2000, commissioned in May of 2000, and then reported to Naval Aviation Schools Command right across the street from OCS there in Pensacola, and did our ground school, what we used to call EPI, now KNIFE, and then after 6 weeks of that, reported out to NAS Whiting Field as a Nugget student to show up and start training in the T-34. Loved it. I got a bit air sick doing aerobatics.
Yeah.
So I showed up with F-14 Tomcat dreams, and each day that I went up and did aero and got a little sicker each time, I thought maybe there's another platform that's going to be better suited to my stomach. And at the advice of one of the instructors, the fleet flying, which is getting ready to happen here, was happening down at Southfield. And I went down there and took my first helicopter rides, CH-46 flown there, and then a MH-53 Echo. And I was hooked.
You were hooked on helos. Yeah. This is a full circle tour for you.
Oh, definitely.
Wow. That's kind of fascinating to me to be full circle on that side. And I guess I kind of want to explain for the folks at home, not only is this full circle and you're the commanding officer of the Naval Air Station Whiting Field out in Milton, Florida, which is home to the largest training air wing, you know, obviously we're at Training Air Wing 5. But also... you're kind of like, I always explain the commanding officer as the mayor of the base. So you kind of run the installation itself and the facilities, and then you support the wing and all the flying. But what's interesting is that you are flying now, even though you're also the commanding officer, but you're also flying aircraft.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
So can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing now as far as the aircraft goes, because you are not in helos right now, correct?
That's correct. I I flew the T-34 Turbo Mentor as a student here 24 years ago, but we have since transitioned to the T-6B, the Texan II aircraft, and so I am working on getting qualified in that aircraft. We've got an exceptional fixed-wing instructor training unit out there where they take instructors who've been training students for at least the last 2 years, some more than that, and they take not only the systems knowledge of the aircraft and how to fly the aircraft and how to fly in the airspace here, because it's a complex airspace that we have here, very congested, and they teach us not only how to fly the aircraft, but they teach us how to fly the aircraft safely with a student, because a student is coming from a fleet aircraft, or multi-piloted aircraft. Your co-pilot is usually additive. You know, you use crew resource management to break up the tasks of a flight and a mission to accomplish it safely and effectively. A student who's never flown before, they don't know what they don't know, and they don't necessarily know where the danger zone is. And so they will do things that are actually negative value to that crew resource management. So the instructors out there, they have learned from being burned, and they share that knowledge with us. And so I'm going through that qualification process to be an instructor out there.
That's amazing that you're the CO and you're also still in training, sort of.
Yeah.
It does make for a busy schedule, but I have a great team out there. So I basically am able to just stay out of their way. You know, I showed up to a very high performing team. Like you said, I got there in mid July, but right before I got there, NAS Whiting Field was recognized as number one small base in the Navy, which then meant we cycled up to compete at the DOD level and then won best base in DOD. So I showed up to a high-performing, exceptional team. So my number one goal was like, stay out of everybody's way. They clearly know what they're doing here. It's a great team, so I try to stay out of their way and let them do their thing.
Yeah. Okay. So switching back to flying, can you explain just real quick? Is that like a complete mental switch from you're a helo guy, so you're flying helicopters, you're in rotary, and now you're in fixed wing? Like, mentally, is that a gear switch in your brain of, you know, just controlling the aircraft? I can assume it's very, very different.
It is very, very different. I think one of the benefits of naval aviators all starting in fixed wing training is that law of primacy causes you to go back to what you first learned in first flight. So it helps you, every flight experience you've had kind of builds upon all the others that you've had. So flying helicopters for the last 23 years, definitely different than what I'm doing right now, but not insanely different. A good, probably 50% of the instructors that we have out there, the lieutenants that we have here on their shore tours as instructors, about half of them came from the fleet, from the Navy, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, flying helicopters and doing that transition. So there are some definite mindset shifts that have to happen to do it safely. For instance, you're not coming in and hovering over the approach end of a runway in an aircraft. You'll be in a lot of trouble if you did that.
Absolutely.
But definitely some mindset shifts. And it goes a lot faster than a helicopter, too. The T-6 is a great aircraft, high-performance little turboprop that has a great, great power to weight ratio, and it likes to get up and go.
So, right.
My little helicopter brain does have to struggle sometimes to keep up.
Now, what did you fly when you were in the fleet? What helicopter did you fly? What's the platform, and what was like the purpose of that platform?
Well, I left here in 2002, winged out at Whiting in 2002, went up to Norfolk, Virginia, and qualified in the H-3 Sea King.
Okay.
That is the same. It was an old aircraft at the time. It's since been retired. We retired it after my first tour in it. And when I got it, I was like, wow, we're still flying these things? And then I looked at it, and I was like, well, it's good enough for the president. It's good enough for me, because the president has a nice shiny green version of the H-3. Yeah. And so I enjoyed flying that for 3 years and then transitioned to the MH-60 Sierra and then taught in that aircraft at our fleet replenishment squadron in Norfolk, Virginia. I helped stand that up. And the MH-60 Sierra is the M stands for multi-mission. It is, we like to say we are jack of all trades, master of none, because we do a lot of various different missions. Mm-hmm. We train to providing support to spec ops, maritime interdiction for suspicious vessels, things that need either boarding or for non-compliant boardings if they're not willing to be compliant and letting us know what kind of cargo they have, or if we suspect they might have terrorists on board, things like that.
Gotcha.
We also do anti-surface warfare. We do search and rescue, combat search and rescue, or personnel recovery. That's the like the movie Behind Enemy Lines, going in to pick somebody up if we have downed air crews. Wow. Behind enemy lines. We do close air support. We do a lot of different things. It has a lot of cool weapon systems. It's got Hellfire missiles, 2.75 inch rockets, both guided and unguided, 50 cal machine guns, 7.62 machine guns, and a fixed forward firing 20 millimeter cannon, which is a lot of fun to shoot.
Okay, so I say that as bad to the bone.
But we are
lots of capabilities.
We fight, we save, we're always ready, is what I like to say.
Yeah.
And I would say, though, what I'm most proud of in all of that time in doing that was flying the mighty Gilosaurus, the Sea King, the H-3, mm-hmm. in 2005. We were called upon to embark the USS Iwo Jima and sail down here following Hurricane Katrina and the devastating effects on Mississippi and New Orleans, Louisiana. Wow. Flying there and rescuing people out of the floodwaters of New Orleans were some very long days, mm-hmm. but that was definitely the most gratifying thing I've ever gotten to do in my entire career, because everything we usually do is over the horizon someplace far away, and the taxpayers and families never get to see that, but it was showcased all over national news, all that was going on to help alleviate the suffering there,
mm-hmm.
and just getting to help your fellow countrymen in their moment of need, that's definitely the most gratifying thing I've ever gotten.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. What an honor. What an honor to be able to do that.
So amazing to be a part of that.
Very cool. So switching from flying back, I feel like we're switching back and forth today, but want to talk a little bit about what you do as a CO. So as far as the primary responsibilities of the commanding officer, what does your day-to-day look like? And what are some of the main responsibilities that you kind of handle every day?
Well, like we talked about, I joined the team in July, and in that time seeing, wow, this is a great team. We are responsible for providing both the airfields, both the two that we have out at NES Whiting proper, and then our 12 outerlying fields all across Northwest Florida and Southern Alabama. And we provide those to Training Wing 5 and the airspace associated with that, that we work in conjunction with the TRACON here in Pensacola to provide space for those instructors to take those students out and mint them as naval aviators. It requires coordination and a lot of relations, a lot of mm-hmm. community relations, keep up relations. And additionally, the facilities, you know, we're responsible for keeping the lights on for them, keeping the water on, and providing the environment that's conducive for them to knock out the training that they need to do to mint those naval aviators.
Right.
We have, like I said, such an exceptional crew out at NAS Whiting. They do all the heavy lifting. I don't have to wake up in the morning and worry, boy, are the lights going to come on this morning? Are we going to be manned up at our outerlying fields, you know, an hour and a half away?
No, right.
I know that the sailors will be there. I know that the team will be assembled. I know that the towers will be manned and that the mission will go on. So I'm trying to spend my energies on looking at ways to improve quality of life for our sailors, Marines, and Coast Guardsmen, and their families who are here at Whiting Field. Because we are shore command and everyone here is on shore duty, I want to make this a time of rest, renewal, and reconnection with family for those folks who are here on their shore tours, so that they leave here inspired and rejuvenated and ready to get back to the fight and go back to sea duty ready to go. So that's where I'm trying to focus my energies and trying to be additive to the team, is to find areas to make those things better for our folks.
Yeah, that's absolutely wonderful to hear.
As the mission happens, I don't have to worry about the mission.
That's right.
It happens. And Training Wing 5, they do an exceptional job of getting out there and and making use of the aircraft and the airspace every day to train those students. And so, yeah.
Are you able to talk about NAS Pensacola and how you work with that Naval Aviation Station in terms of the students that start there and come over to Whiting?
Yeah, we love Village.
I do as well. Village, I love you, buddy. Great guy. He's in the twilight of his days as the CEO down there, and he's done a fantastic job. And he's been an inspiration to me. I was working with Village a little bit in my last job before even coming down here. And so in working with him, trying to get the base open for people to come back to the museum.
Yeah, and for everyone out there, we're using his call sign, but that's the commanding officer currently is Captain Shishati out at NAS Pensacola, and his call sign is Village. And I cannot say it enough, and we say it behind the scenes, the 06s, the team behind the scene of the leadership, works so well together. And we also have another 06 on NAS Whiting Field that commands the Training Air Wing 5 portion and the Training Air Wing. So we have the 06 at NAS Whiting Field, the 06 at NAS Pensacola, and the 06 at Training Air Wing 5. And it's just, I have to admit, this is just a wonderful relationship between these three men.
Yes, that's awesome. Skipper Shishati, getting to work with him in my last tour a little bit. He, in knowing I was coming down here, he has been like my sea daddy when it comes to training me and apprenticing me. So he was teaching me things about being a base CO before I even started my training track to come down here. So he's really been helpful to our transition. He and his wife, Jen, just fantastic people.
Yeah.
So welcoming and have been helpful for our family in our transition down here.
Yeah, we've just gotten so lucky with these last many years with so many great leaders. And before that, we had Lucky. And we've just had some great, wonderful, almost infamous, I'll say infamous / famous leaders. And then they go on to lead in our community and serve in our community as well, as Lucky's doing right now at UWF. I mean, it's just absolutely wonderful. So looking at, so it's kind of, we've kind of done the past and we've kind of done the present. So in the future we go, can I ask what you're thinking about in your future?
The future, let's see. Well,
I always say, can I mention the R word? Are you thinking about the retirement world?
Oh, I was like, R word. I was like, radical?
Retirement.
Well, yeah, just got here. Starting a 3-year tour. For now, I'm focusing on just taking care of the people who take care of the best base in the DOD and meeting mission for them. I want to take care of the men and women, like I said, who are shore duty personnel,
right.
Both and staff and instructors out at Whiting Field and their families. Getting them renewed and renewed. I'm focusing on flying and training and getting qualified in the T-6. And,
yeah.
And then I want to help train the next generation of naval aviators, both Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard. I want to try and inspire and give them the zeal that I have for this organization. I love this organization. I'm very passionate about it. And so it means a lot to me to have the chance to be able to give back to that organization. And so it is not lost on me. I have contemplated the R word in the past and separation, prior to being eligible to retirement. And at every off ramp, I think about the fact that when I put on my uniform every day, I get this like sense of invincibility and like this Superman power type feeling. And I just am, I have not lost the wonder of it all. And I'm thrilled to do it. And I just look back to when I was in college and watching the Blue Angels perform during Neptune Fest in September, probably about 1998-ish. I was watching them and thinking heavily about doing this and thought, gosh, I would give my right arm to do that.
Right.
And so when you think back at what you would give up to get to do this, it makes you very hesitant to put it on the shelf and hang it up.
I hear that. Absolutely. Yeah. It's wonderful to hear and see that pride. And we do, we see it every day. And just the passion for naval aviation. I think we all share the passion for naval aviation, and not just because we live here, but it's just a wonderful, wonderful mission to be able to, it's an honor to support. Okay, so getting to know you a little bit more on the personal side, do you mind sharing, are you married, children?
I am married.
Okay.
My wife Lauren and I have been married. It will be here in about 2 weeks. November 6th, we'll be celebrating our 25th anniversary.
Congratulations. And,
thanks.
That's great.
And we have two wonderful children. Sophia, she's a senior in high school this year. And my son, Teddy, little Teddy, Teddy Jr., he is in eighth grade this year.
Okay. So you and I are living the teenage life. And being parents of teenagers is not for the faint of heart.
No, it's not.
It is not. Teenagers are this wonderful, wonderful blessing, but it is a whole nother stress level. Do you remember when it was like when they were young and you could control them?
Yeah.
You could control them and it was simpler. It was just simpler. But
I went to bed earlier.
That's right. You had a schedule you could keep. Okay, it's bedtime. Now I'm knocking on the door at 11 o'clock. Go to bed. You have school. Get off the video games. And scared when you're in the passenger seat because they're driving. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's just a scary thing.
I'm glad I'm not alone.
I know. Yeah. Okay, so can we talk about the oldest right now, Sophia? Yeah. Has she said anything as far as like the future goes, or what does she want to do after high school?
Right now, she's leaning towards going to college, and she's taking her SAT as we speak right now.
So
she's been taking it a few times. She's trying to get the best scores that she can on it.
Right.
So she's taken them as many times as she can, right up to the application deadlines, and we've been trying to steer her towards schools here in the Southeast. Mm-hmm. I'd love for her to go to my alma mater of Liberty University up in Lynchburg, Virginia, but at the same time, I want her to be a little bit closer, selfishly, and as well as, that first time that she's leaving home, I'd like her to be closer. So we've been steering her towards schools down in the Southeast here. And my personal hope is that she'll go right here to UWF and not leave home. But I have a feeling she's going to want to stretch her legs and probably and go someplace a little bit farther away. And that's how I was when I was a student. I think it does do great things for
absolutely
for a young adult to stretch their legs and start establishing that independence.
Are they in any activities? Do they play sports?
They
I will tell you that, and for everyone at home that's just hearing and not seeing, Skipper is tall, and I think Lauren's pretty tall, and then he's got these two beautiful tall teenagers. So I can imagine, do either one of them play sports?
My daughter, Sophia, she plays soccer. She plays for a travel team this time of year.
Okay.
And then she plays for her school team in the spring. So she plays soccer year-round. My son, Teddy, plays. He's on the middle school football team. And he's also playing up with their JV team as well. And then in the springtime, he plays lacrosse.
Okay.
They are still in Virginia. I feel like it's important to highlight that.
Yeah.
We looked at moving down here, and when we became laser focused on moving down here a few years ago, it was based on everybody saying, oh, yeah, we would love to go live near those beautiful beaches.
And, absolutely.
But with this being my daughter's senior year, we kind of declared at the midnight hour to keep her in place to let her finish her senior year this year and then move the whole family down here this summer.
What a great plan. What a great plan. Okay, so I know we're coming up here on the end, and I kind of want to switch gears a little bit because we have a busy week coming up in Escambia County, NAS Pensacola, NAS Whiting Field, and just overall in the naval aviation community. We have a lot going on. Soon, coming up, we have the fleet fly-in. Not only do we have the fleet fly-in, right after Training Air Wing 5 and HT-8 fleet fly-in, we have the Blue Angels home show. Excuse me. So we've got Thunderbirds, Blue Angels, we've got heavy helicopters down. It's going to be, the airspace is going to be very interesting. So everybody starting on about the 28th of October, all the way through till November 3rd, or I wish to say November 2nd, look up for cool.